A lot of times people say it's nice to be back, but I'm super nervous, and that's all right. The Lord's here today, and He will bless us. Right here I have some real silver, 21 pieces, one extra one. One person in the Bible was sold for 20 pieces of silver. This past week, if you've noticed, our weather has been kind of unpredictable, and if you heard some thunder, I didn't see the lightning, but two different times, God can express Himself in a big way. Amen? And it's something that can be scary, but it's something that we can delight in as well. God is all-powerful. The sermon today that I didn't choose, because I was here a couple months ago, 6 weeks ago, and the title of the sermon was Going Back in Time. Well, I had a lot more than I should have. I didn't hardly even get to the main point. And today, we're going to be telling the rest of the story. The Lord has inspired me to tell the stories of two great men in the Bible. If anyone has figured out the 20 pieces of silver, that is one of the people we'll be talking about. It's in Genesis 37 is where we'll start. But first, we'll have a word of prayer. Our Lord, our God, though our most powerful and mighty way. And we've seen this in the last week. And may we use your power in a great way and let people know that Christ is alive, and may He be alive in each one of us. And may our desire be to serve you in what manner of it may be, because you have given us all different talents. And Lord, today we thank you for your Sabbath and your blessings of your Sabbath. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be reading a little bit from Genesis 37, we'll start in verse 4. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all the brothers, they hated him. That's not very nice. And they could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brothers that they hated him even more. He has 10 older brothers. You know, a lot of times you might think, well, 10 older brothers, I don't have as many chores. Yeah, obviously they didn't like him. As we keep going on, it even gets worse. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream. And he told it to his brothers, and they said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bow down to me. And his brothers envied him. Well, it wasn't long after that. His brothers were tending the flock, the herds, and they were quite a ways from home. And Father Jacob told his son, you need to take some food and provisions for your brothers. And so he did. And he went to the first town, and they had already passed there, and they were quite a ways on out. As he was nearing them, his brothers saw him, and as soon as they saw him, they conspired each to one another. We need to kill him. Wow, this is their own brother. I told you it was going to get worse, and it did. And Reuben, the older brother, he said, no, don't kill him. Let's put him in the pit. So they put him in the pit, and there he was all day long as they were eating the food that he brung to them. Not very nice brothers. So they still were planning on killing him, and Reuben decided after dark he would go and get his brother out of the pit so he could go back home. But in the meantime, Reuben was tending the flocks, and along come a company of Ishmaelites. In the Ishmaelites trading, there was a Midianite trader, and they passed by, and the 20 pieces of silver is what they sold their brother for. How much are we worth? Are we worth one of these or 20? 20 is not very much. He's got 10 older brothers. That only amounts to two of these. Two. Not very much. Now, as the traders went on, they were headed to Egypt. And as they got there, Joseph was sold to Potiphar. Potiphar was a very influential man who worked for the Pharaoh. The Lord was with Joseph. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And so it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, and that the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Now things are finally looking up for Joseph, right? Well, it's not very long. Guess what? A big spiral down the hill. We're reading from Genesis 39 and verse 6 and 7. Now Joseph was a handsome man in form. Now it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." And Joseph said back to her, "There's no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you," which is Potiphar, "because you are his wife. How can I do this wickedness and sin against God?" It went on day from day. Obviously, Joseph had chores to do in the house. Now, he's overseer of all of Potiphar's things. Pretty amazing. He's a slave. One day, when there was no one else around, she said, "Lie with me." But he fled from her, and she grabbed his garment as he was leaving. And now, she told a lie. She told her household and the men what Joseph would try to take her. And obviously, it was a lie. And it wasn't long. Potiphar came back home, and he had only one thing to do, either kill Joseph or put him in prison. Going on down to verse 21, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." That was verse 21. We're going to leave Joseph right there for now. We're going to turn to Judges chapter 14. This is Samson. Most of us know Samson and what happened to him. Samson actually, his parents were not to drink any wine, any unclean meat, and he was going to be actually the leader of their nation. Get him out of bondage. At that time, they were in the bondage of the Philistines. Chapter 14, verse 1. "Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, 'I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife.' Then his father and mother said to him, 'Is there no woman among the daughters of the brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?' And Samson said to his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleases me well.' But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel." Now, as they're going to Timnath, Samson and his folks went kind of a different way, and he went another way. And as Samson was going by a vineyard, a young lion came out of the vineyard. Terrifying moment, but to Samson, he tore the lion completely in two. They went on to Timnath. As they were coming back, Samson went by the lion, and his parents went a different route. And what had happened, behold, there was a swarm of bees in the lion. And Samson took from it some honey and honeycomb and was eating it on the way. And when he got home, he gave some to his father and mother. And I kind of got an idea. If your son comes home and gives you something, better ask him first where he got it. From the insides of a lion, that's not exactly a real nice place. But obviously honey is probably a rare thing. So now they're going to have a large feast, and obviously Samson proposed a riddle. There was 30 of the companions of his wife-to-be, and he proposed a riddle before them. And the riddle went like this. "And so he said to them, 'Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet.'" How many of us probably could figure that riddle out? Not I. So they had 7 days to figure out this riddle. And after the third day, they weren't being able to do it. So they went to Samson's wife, day after day. And finally, they said, "If you don't tell us the riddle from your husband, we're going to kill you and your household." Not very nice people. Obviously, if that was going to happen to me, you're probably going to do whatever you can do to figure this out. So she hearkened on Samson the last 4 days. And finally, he told the riddle to her. "For what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion?" And that was the riddle. And so she told it to them, and they told it to Samson. "And now he said to them, 'If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle.'" Most women probably would not want to be called a heifer. Even myself, you know, wouldn't want to be called a bull. That's just, but anyways, this is exactly what the Bible says. So Samson, now in verse 19, we're still in chapter 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ascalon and killed 30 of their men and took their apparel and gave the changes of clothing to those who explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back to his father's house. Obviously, the Spirit of the Lord is with Samson. In chapter 15, and after a while, in the time of the wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat, and he said, "Let me go into my wife, into her room." But her father would not permit him to go in. Her father said, "I really thought you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead." I kind of looked at that part, and I'm going like, Samson went and he killed 30 of the Philistines without even batting an eye. But yet he could have went in and took her, but he did not. And Samson said to them, "This time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them." Then Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and he took torches, turned the foxes tail to tail, and put a torch between each pair of tails. I look at that verse 4, 300 foxes. But with God, anything is possible. And obviously, Samson was chosen. Verse 5, when he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and the olive groves. Then the Philistines said, "Who has done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion." So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. Unbelievable. Their own people. And Samson said to them, "Since you would do a thing like this, I will surely take revenge on you. And after that, I will cease." So he attacked them hip and high with a great slaughter. Then he went down and dwelt in the cleft of the rock of Edom. Obviously, Samson is the leader of his own people. And his own people, 3,000 men, go and they bind him. And they go, "Since you have done this thing to the Philistines, now they're wanting to do great harm to us." And he said, "If you promise not to hurt me, this fine, you can turn me over to the Philistines." And they did. They tied him with new ropes, and they went, and they turned him over to the Philistines, and he broke the new ropes like string, and there with the jawbone of a donkey, he slew 1,000 men. Pretty amazing. Chapter 15, verse 17. And so it was, when he had finished speaking, and he threw the jawbone from his hand, and he called the place Ramoth Lehi. Then he became very thirsty. So he cried out to the Lord and said, "You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" Samson did not give glory to God until he relinquished that he did not do this on his own, and now he was about to die of thirst. So God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and the water came out, and he drank, and his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore he called his name Ikkor, which is in Lehi to this day, and he judged Israel for 20 years. Now the real down spiral of Samson. Then Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When the Gazites were told Samson had come there, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night in the gate of the city. There was quiet all night, saying, "In the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him," the Philistines were saying. And Samson lay low till midnight. And then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city, and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bars and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Unbelievable. Now afterward it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Actually, Delilah was a Hebrew woman. Strange that he did not take her for his wife. But the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him and find out where his strength lies. And by means we have overpowered him, that we might bind him to afflict him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." I don't know if that was 2, 3, or 4, or 5 Philistines. Obviously, 1,100. Here we have 21. So you can take 1,100 pieces of silver times 2, 3, 4, or 5. Obviously a great sum of money. Obviously, money was a downfall of a lot of people. Delilah asked Samson, "Where does your strength lie? If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak." But no, that wasn't the truth. And then the second time, if you bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak. That wasn't true. And she said, you have mocked me. And he said to her the third time, if you weave the seven locks of my head into the web of the loom, then I shall become like another man. That wasn't true. Chapter 16, verse 16 and 17. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever came upon my head, for I have been a Nazarene to God from my mother's womb. He's telling the truth now, finally. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like other men. So Delilah had someone come in, cut his hair while he slept on her lap. And Delilah said, the Philistines are upon you. And Samson arose like before, but he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. The Philistines took him, put out his eyes, they bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in prison. It wasn't long, though, his hair of his head began to grow again. Now, Samson's a slave. He was born to be a ruler of his people, and now he's a slave. What was his downfall? Could he change what he'd done? No. Could he ask God to help him, to forgive him? Yes. The Philistines had a large coliseum, and they had a lot of different games, and they called on Samson different times to perform for them. I'm sure they spit at him, throwed rocks at him, throwed sticks at him, anything they could do. Chapter 16, verse 24. And the Philistines are saying, our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead. Samson did. But God was with Samson. Now Samson became tired, and they put him up in between the two pillars. And then Samson cried out to the Lord one last time. Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And then Samson pushed with all his might, and the pillars came down, and 3,000 people died in that day. Samson had killed more Philistines in one time than any other time. Joseph's rise to power. Joseph is in prison. Things were looking up, now things are really turned down. But it wasn't long that the prison officer could see that Joseph was a man of God. And he put him over in charge of the rest of the prisoners over a very short time. One day, the butler and the baker of the king were confined to the prison. Each one had a dream. Each dream was different. Joseph could tell that they were in heartache. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? The butler told him his dream. He said, in 3 days you will rise again to your position of the Pharaoh. Of course, the baker, he liked that. Oh, yes, tell me an interpretation of my dream that wasn't good. In 3 days you will lose your head and... not good. Obviously, it wasn't what he wanted to hear. But he said to the butler, he said, remember me when you go back to the Pharaoh. Well, he didn't. So 2 years later, so Joseph answered the Pharaoh saying, it is not me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. This is for the two dreams that he had. Then Joseph said to the Pharaoh, the dreams of the Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years, and dreams are one. And the seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. After he had told the Pharaoh about his dreams, he said in verse 34, let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the seven plentiful years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of the Pharaoh, and let him keep good food in the cities. The Pharaoh knew immediately, he said to himself, so the advice was good in the eyes of the Pharaoh and in the eyes of all of his servants. That was verse 37. And the Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Then the Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and over my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And the Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then the Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he said to him, ride in the second chariot, which is he had. And they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set over him all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He was about 16 when his brothers sold him to the Midianites. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he that sold to the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them, about where they bowed down to him. Two completely different outcomes. Two fairly same circumstances. Joseph did not throw himself into the situation he was, but he made the situation into a great thing. Samson lost sight of what his responsibilities were. In closing, Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary, Volume 2, Chapter 16. Samson failed where Joseph overcame. Samson and his pearl had the same source of strength as Joseph. He could choose the right or the wrong as he pleased. But instead of taking hold of the strength of God, he permitted the wild passions of his nature to have full sway. The reasoning powers were perverted, the morals corrupted. God had called Samson to a position of great responsibility, honor, and usefulness. But he must first learn to govern by first learning to obey the laws of God. Joseph was a free moral agent. Good and evil were before him. He could choose the path of purity, holiness, and honor, or the path of immorality and degradation. He chose the right way, and God approved. Samson, under similar temptations which he had brought upon himself, gave loose rein to passion. The path which he entered upon, he found to end in shame, disaster, and death. What a contrast to the history of Joseph. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That's our Bible. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Micah 7:1-19, God will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. I've been out on the ocean, the sea, a couple times, out about 50 miles. You can't see nothing. And you're probably about 2,000 feet. God will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. The rest of the story is you and me. The rest of the story will not be finished until our Lord and God and Savior comes back. And then we'll go on forever. Let's bow our heads. Our Lord, it was good to be here today. And we pray a special blessing on each person. And may we never forget you. May we long to serve you. May our desire be to have a better life. And the only way we can have that is if we have Jesus in our heart. As we go from here, we pray a special blessing on your Sabbath. And Lord, we thank you for everything that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.